Dave from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Ooh, I nearly identified myself as the host.
Whoa!
And not the co-host. I had to stop myself. Yeah.
Wow, you, this is going to your head already. You're already pulling rank.
Yeah.
On me. This is how I find out. I've been demoted. This is how I find out.
Yeah, I'm the host. You're the co-host. That's how it is from now on.
It's like, wait, what? Calling HR. What the fuck? I got a demotion. What happened? What did I do?
Well, you know, we've done some some listener polls. They like me better than you. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's so now this podcast is going to be 75% me, 25% you.
This is hogwash. I don't want to believe any of this.
Our numbers have just gone way down. Wow, our listenership is dropping in real time.
What? No.
Oh my God.
But like people, I thought people love me. Like, people like tweet me and text me and be like, "Hey man, you're the bee's knees, Darren. You're all right. you're a big old bag of bundleful joy. I love you, man. I love you, buddy." My mom says I'm the best on this podcast. She says I'm a good boy.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. So how can the numbers be dipping? My mom likes me.
Well, no, I was saying that the numbers were dipping after I was saying it was going to be 75% me and 25% you. I was doing some self-deprecating humor there.
I see. Oh, I thought, I was doing self-deprecating humor because I thought the numbers were dipping as soon as I talked.
You see, this is a problem. We both hate ourselves. So therefore, we assume that it's like when we got that review saying, like, for one of us, saying, like, one of us, a little, that guy goes a long way. But hopefully they're both glass half full guys. And I'm just like, have you ever met a stand-up comedian?
I don't think you have. The glass is always empty. Always.
Yes. Yes.
It's empty.
If you give us an excuse to hate ourselves, we will take that.
Yes, that glass is half empty. It's dirty. It's got lipstick on it. A floating,
it's broken.
Broke a cigarette butt is floating in it. No one's. that's our glass.
Yeah, yeah. We have a real sunny outlook on life, folks.
It's always sunny on SNL Nerds.
So, okay. So, should we just dive into this week?
Let's talk about it.
Okay, so we're talking about latest episode of SNL, Melissa McCarthy and Dijon. This is from December 6, 2025, season 51, episode 7. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy's sixth time hosting SNL.
She's a six-timer now.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, she always comes on, brings a bundle of energy. She always brings it, brings the house down. She's beloved. Everybody loves Melissa. Like, who could not love Melissa? She's Melissa.
I mean, I think a little of her goes a long way, personally. But
I see that, like, when she plays it, but behind the curtain.
I can get more than my fill of her.
Okay. But, like, I would say that for this episode, like, I see what you mean, because, like, when she plays it big and broad, you know, it's you know, almost like Chris Farley-esque or Jack Black-esque.
Yeah.
But, like, I will say, in this episode, she doesn't play it big and broad that much. If anything, she kind of reins it in.
She is the straight person in a few of the sketches.
Yeah, which kind of, it kind of surprised me. It's like, oh, look, she's really bringing it down here. But I don't know. I thought it worked in some sketches. Other sketches, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking the game plan is for this week.
Let's go.
I say we go through the sketches in the order that they occurred in the show. And when we have the musical guest, we talk about both of their segments together because we don't have too much to say about the musical guest.
I don't know, man. That's awfully risky. I don't know. Has that ever been done before?
It's been done about 364 times before this.
So this will be 365?
Not counting bonus episodes, yes.
Okay, you know what?
So we're probably at around 375, 380 at this point. Something like that.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm feeling lucky, Jack. Let's go for it, man.
Okay. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
Roll the dice and do fortune favors the bold. Let's do
it. Starting out, we got the Pentagon press conference cold open. It's we got a press conference with Secretary of Defense it's Secretary of War now.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Egg Seth. played by Colin Jost.
Yeah, watching C-SPAN. Hey, Netflix, we're for sale, too. And, you know, of course, monopolies. And, yeah, of course, this is all, you know, showcasing our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, and his recent scandals about the military action off the coast of Venezuela, and mm-hmm. of course, you know, Colin
blowing up all the boats.
Yeah, and you know, committing, you know, maybe some war crimes, but you know, maybe. I
mean, yeah, you know, yeah, we got some war crimes going on. Yeah, sure.
Got some war crimes. I know you, because that's the. Yeah. Anyway, so
yeah, you're doing the what is that fellow's name?
The blurred lines.
Robin Thicke.
Yeah. See, you got
Alan Thicke's son.
Yeah. Doing like a Weird Al Yankovic song flip there. That's what I bring to the podcast. But yeah, of course we see Colin Jost coming as Hegseth, coming out all alpha bro. First off, we're all the fatties. Get out of here. You know, he gives the Dane Cook super finger. Which I haven't seen in forever. I was like, wow.
Yeah, we're going back to like 2003 there.
Yeah. He does like a little Animaniacs call out when he's labeling, when he's naming all the names of the countries. I was like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Talking about like countries we're going to go to war with. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a nice little exchange where Ashley Padilla is one of the reporters, asks him a question. Of course, he barks back the answer, oh, get a husband. And of course Padilla says, I'm trying.
Yeah,
so
that was pretty good. I enjoyed seeing Sarah as Matt Gaetz with her Beavis and Butthead-esque makeup job.
Yes Matt Gaetz asking a question, hey, you guys are only targeting drug smugglers, right? So like, right. Any other smuggling is cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course Bowen asks a question, Gaetz calls, stares directly at him. Matt Gaetz is actually staring at Bowen, like, directly, like, kind of goofily. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. But, yeah, Bowen asks him a question. Hegseth calls him Will and Grace. And then Bowen says, my name actually is William Grace.
And we had Hegseth calling Trump a high-energy alpha, and then immediately cut to Trump there asleep.
Yes.
Lots of news stories about Trump being asleep.
Yeah. Because he's a. Yeah, because he. Oh, boy. But yeah, so we see Trump in the corner, you know, asleep, having wet dreams about Mandani. And.
As we all do. Yeah.
Who hasn't? Who amongst us hasn't?
Who among us? Yeah. Yes. But he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Yes. And, of course, he wakes up saying, I wasn't sleeping, now tell me, where am I, who am I, and what year might it be?
Yeah. And honestly, I just wish they had Trump asleep for the entire sketch. I think that would have been funny.
Yeah, but I mean, I will say, like, even though we have said there's been too much Trump, they did give us a limited amount of Trump, which I think...
They scaled it back a bit.
They scaled it back, which I was... Yeah. Yeah. So I was more okay with this cold open. Like, overall, yeah. I thought cold open was all right.
Yeah, I was sort of in. I was like, okay, it's not much to write home about. It's I thought Jost was putting in a good performance, you know, particularly when, you know, he doesn't act too much on the show, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, this is-
I mean, I guess maybe saying he doesn't act is a little harsh, but you know, he doesn't do a whole lot of character work.
Yeah,
I
guess, like
I should say.
Sketch comedy stuff. He mostly does the behind the desk stuff. But yeah, like this is pretty much Jost's cold open. Like he's like mm-hmm. the focus point of the whole thing. And I think I did all right. You know, he did a good job there.
Mm-hmm.
Did a good job. I did like the line where him saying, like, after Trump says, oh, what year might it be? Him saying, oh, that's a good one, Mr. President. Everything you do that's weird is a joke. And as yeah, that's
yeah,
that's how they treat them. Mm-hmm. Everything's great, guys. We're gonna live forever. Everything's fine. So monologue.
Melissa McCarthy monologue.
Hosting for the sixth time. Got some Christmas music playing. You know, tis the
season.
Got
lots of snow dumped on her.
Snow dumped on her. Played the mouth horn, which yeah. was which with the mouth horn, I thought it'd be more like like that, but her mouth horn was more like wop 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 wop. Which
so you're criticizing her mouth horn?
I went to music school. I studied the mouth horn in Juilliard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a proper mouth horn when I hear a proper mouth horn. And,
I know. I've read the graffiti.
Hey yo, hey now. So then Marcello as dressed up as an elf comes out, pushes out a piano, pushes, you know, all the way into Melissa, then get some physical comedy here. As like she kind of holds on to the piano, you know, Marcella saying, "Oh, I got to hit my mark," so maybe pulls it back,
mm-hmm.
while he, you know, Melissa holds on and drags it, or you know, as Melissa kind of drags along with the piano, and then the piano doors to the keys slam on her fingers. I don't know. I thought this cold.
And Keenan comes out and they sing, yeah. "Christmas Baby, Please Come Home." I wasn't thrilled with the monologue. Too much, really.
The monologue was kind of weak. Like it was kind
of. I think it was just sort of like, oh, it's this person's sixth time here. What the heck do we do with them at this point? You know, that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, like it. I don't know if it was like the timing or the pacing, but just something seemed kind of off about it. And yeah, like it really did feel like, well, we don't know exactly what to do with Melissa, so like they tried like a bunch of little different things, like, oh, maybe mouth horn, maybe that's something, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. oh, maybe we'll just dump tons of fake snow on her. That's, I mean, it was more a lot of things that were cute but not necessarily funny, I'd say. That's right. Oh yeah, I get critical when it comes to SNL because I love it so much, so. Yeah,
I'm stroking my beard in a thoughtful manner because I'm contemplating the wisdom of what you just said.
Thank you. Yes, I drop gems once in a while when I'm not flubbing poorly told jokes.
I've always said that about you, sir.
Hey, when he's not stumbling and fumbling his words, he's actually has some smart stuff to say.
If you give him like three or four tries, he gets quite profound.
Yeah, exactly. He's like a batter. He needs to warm up first, and then he can hit some home runs. That's what batters hit, right?
You know, I got a little curious about this when they were like singing at the end of the monologue. Who first did that Christmas Baby Please Come Home song?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't like. I know that U2 covered it, but surely they weren't the first people to do that song, right?
I don't think so. I don't even. What's the name of the song? Because like.
I think it's just Christmas, Please, Baby, Please Come Home.
Let's give this a look.
Let's see. Christmas. Oh, apparently Darlene Love did it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Originally sung by Darlene Love, included on the 1963 compilation, A Christmas Gift for You.
Oh, shout out to Darlene Love. I love some love.
A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector. It was later renamed. Oh, well, that's that became somewhat less Christmassy.
Christmas is canceled. Oh dear. But yeah, the monologue was kind of a bit of a letdown, I'd say. A little kind of felt kind of flat.
Yeah, I'm detecting a theme.
Oh wow. All right. I think I know where you stand on this episode.
Well, let's see. First sketch, free sample. We got Jeremy Culhane giving out free samples at a supermarket. And Melissa McCarthy is a shopper, and she's blown away that she's been offered a free sample. She's never experienced such an act of kindness before.
Right. It's like she feels bad because like she didn't have anything to give him.
Yeah.
And you can tell, you could tell like this, just a stranger giving her a free sample of cheese means so much to her that like it. like it means the world to her. Like other customers come up for to get some of the free cheese, and she kind of keeps them away. Mm-hmm. I think some woman with a baby in her cart comes up for like, oh, free cheese, and then she just kind of pulls the cart away and throws it down the aisle, and the woman is like, oh my god, my baby.
She gives Jeremy her mother's ring. Yeah. She gives him a very awkward hug. At one point, Mikey, as the store manager, comes up and he's like, excuse me, are you the woman who has like six dogs tied up at the front of the store? And she's like, yeah, just let them loose and let them go lead their own lives.
Right. Because the dogs are barking at people of color and they bit the Salvation Army bell ringer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of like this sketch. You know, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it was all right. It was right. I wasn't thrilled with it, but I liked the character work that they were doing, and I liked the premise of somebody getting a free sample and just taking that way, 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 way too seriously.
Yeah, then we get into the woman's background, like how, you know, like when she gives Jeremy. By the way, they gave Jeremy kind of a pretty sizable role in this sketch. I think it did. Mm-hmm. I thought he did pretty well.
He did do well.
Yeah, but like she gives him his mother's ring, but it wasn't her biological mother because she was abandoned in infancy. And then we learn her foster mom was like telling her, "Don't stop telling people I'm your mom. I'm barely your foster mom." And you know, then she was like, "Oh well, you know, I don't go to school, so I have no one to talk to." Like her life just keeps getting sadder and sadder the mm-hmm. more you hear about it. So you understand why somebody giving her cheese would lead to this kind of rush of emotions.
Right.
Like she hugs him and then she admits that's the first time I've ever hugged anybody. I was like, oh, yeah. This is sad. I kind of like this sketch. I think it had some pretty cool character work. This might be my sketch of the night, I'd say. Hmm. And of course, all this leads to her having to tend to her dogs. But, you know, just in one big act of appreciation and affection, she ends up kissing Jeremy Colhane before she goes, tends to her dog. And then at the end, Jeremy is like, wait, I think I love you. And then the two of them embrace. Like, I kind of dug this one. I thought this was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I didn't love it. I didn't think the ending was as strong as it could have been, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah. It's some good acting. And, again, Jeremy Colhane getting a chance to show what he can do on the show.
Yeah, it's always nice seeing one of the new kids getting a breakout.
Absolutely. So next up, we got a pre-tape, A Helping Hand. That's what it's called.
Helping Hand. So we got this is kind of similar to one we did a few years back with Billie Eilish and Kate McKinnon. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's Billie Eilish lived across the street in an apartment from an old lady.
Yep.
That was
invites her over for Christmas dinner. She holds up a sign and says, "Will any black people be there?" You know.
Yeah.
Which is the traditional response you give whenever someone invites you to a Christmas dinner.
You got to make sure, man.
Yep. Can't be too careful. Yes.
We're sneaky people. You never
know. You want to know what you're walking into.
Walk into the place like, whoa, 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 whoa.
So here we got like a kid across the street from Melissa McCarthy's little old lady. He shovels her walkway and, you know, and like Christmas music is playing and she just in silence is like mouths, thank you. And we see her trying to pay the kid back. That we see the kid. He's getting bullied by Marcello. When the kid wakes up the next day, Marcello is tied up out front in his underwear with a target painted on his chest, and there's like a sled full of snowballs.
Yeah. And she's like, take those snowballs, hit them, and hit them, and hit them, and hit them.
And we later see the kid, and it's played by a real kid, which was an unusual choice for SNL, I thought.
Yeah, that was kind of, usually they get one of the actors to do, but like.
We get one of the younger skewing cast members.
Yeah, one of the younger folks. Kid. Yeah.
But here it's like a genuine kid and like his teens and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
This is wild.
Yeah.
What is this, Nickelodeon?
We see him getting pelted by snowballs from the neighborhood bullies, and she gives him a gun.
As you do. Stand your ground, kid.
He gets rejected by his crush at the bus stop, and so she sends a couple of sex workers to his door.
Yeah, and of course the father answers the door. He's like, I think there's some mistake. You know, that's Teddy. You're here for Teddy. Teddy's my 12-year-old son. Sorry about that. She closes the door. And of course, Keenan as the pimp is like, yeah. up.
Hey. Not so fast. Yeah.
You know, these you still got to pay these ladies for their time, my brother.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. And then we see, like, on, I think it's on Christmas Day, where there's a body being wheeled out from the neighbor's house. And they're like, oh, no, did that weird old lady pass away? And they're like, oh, no, that's actually her mother who died 6 years ago. And she'd like sunk into the couch.
Yay. Yeah, that. Wow, that's what a visual.
So he got very gruesome. And then Melissa McCarthy's character is on the run from the police. And they're like, so if you see her, let us know. And then we see Melissa McCarthy. She's disguised as a snowman on their front yard.
Right.
And she's like, shh. And the kid covers for her because it's the holidays. That's heartwarming.
Yeah. Like, I was wondering why the kid covered for her after all she did. But I don't know. It's Christmas. So I guess you just don't want to do something nice.
I mean, you know, if a neighbor sends you a couple of sex workers during the holiday season, I feel like you owe them a debt. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, that's the rule by which I live my life.
She sent me that gun out of the goodness of her heart.
Right. And it was already loaded and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You know how expensive bullets are? Come on. Yeah. I thought this was all right. I don't, maybe it was I feel like I needed something else. Maybe the ending was a little, maybe not as strong as I would have liked it, but I needed something else, but I just can't put my finger on what.
Yeah. I think this was one of the better things of the night. I mean, I liked all her really inappropriate and upping the ante responses to everything where the kid was in need. You know, it's like, oh, he's been rejected by his crush. I'm going to send him a couple of prostitutes.
Hi, we're looking for Teddy. Is he here? Yeah. We were told to make him feel good.
Yeah.
But yeah, not too shabby. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
So next up, we got ourselves a sketch called a UPS delivery driver.
Mm-hmm. Got Melissa McCarthy as a UPS delivery driver. She's getting called in by her bosses, Ashley Padilla and Mikey Day, and they're like, hey, we called you in because we've received some complaints on your route, and we're going to show you the security footage from this one house and just to show you what they mean.
Yes.
And so we just see Melissa McCarthy doing all sorts of inappropriate things as UPS delivery driver.
Right. You know, tossing the boxes, dropping the boxes, opening the
box. Doing the people's elbow on the package.
Yes, people's elbow, taking the sweater out one of the boxes and rubbing it on her private areas.
Yeah, just like stringing it between her legs. And Yeah.
Dumps trash in the front porch. She put the live bat into the house at one point.
Right.
And of course, she takes a poop on the porch.
Right. A really long one, too. They had the security footage going from day to night, which was a nice touch.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. Like, I think there's something wrong with you.
And as Melissa McCarthy, she's trying to weasel out of this as they're watching the footage. And she pretends to faint in her chair. She tries to, like, wheel her chair out of the room. And they're like, no.
It's like, Donna?
Yeah. And, you know, she tries to eat the complaint about her.
Right.
That doesn't work. And then at the end, ha ha, oh, it's all an ad for the U.S. Postal Service.
Because they fired her after she gave them the best 17 days of her life. So where can she go to now? United States Postal Service, of course, baby.
They're hiring for the holidays. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
I concur.
Yeah, like, I felt like some parts of this kind of went on a little too long. I mean, the one thing you can tell about the sketch is, like, all three of those people were former groundlings, so they got to get real groundlings with it. in this sketch, and you can kind of tell, like, it, like some parts going
on. Expand on this thought. How did they get groundlings with it, Darren?
You know, get groundlings with it. No. I thought.
Explain it in a Will Smith style rap, if you please.
Perhaps I can explain what I mean in song. No, the way it played out, it definitely felt like an improv sketch, like, especially the parts where, like, you know, where she puts the complaint in her mouth and pretends to faint and slowly push herself out the door. And then Mikey has to get up and drag her back and try to pull the complaint out of her mouth. I felt like,
right.
I mean, like, it did. Well, Lorne Michaels here with us today.
Right. Yeah.
I did feel like those parts went on a little too long, which, I mean, sometimes I don't hate, because it is, you know, sometimes it is cool to see improv people play like that. But, like,
yeah,
it did feel like, I don't.
You feel like they were milking it a little bit?
Yes. Thank you. That's it. I felt like they were milking it a little bit too long.
Yeah, I feel like there was some funny stuff in this sketch, but overall I wasn't wild about it. And I'm really kind of tired of ending the sketch of, like, hey, we're a fake ad for this other thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like SNL has gone to that well a lot in the last 7 to 10 years in particular. And I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, it really does feel like they do that whenever they can't think of a proper ending for a sketch. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's actually an ad for so-and-so.
And I'm not saying that's never worked for me. I mean, I think the first time I recall them doing it was when they ended the World's Most Evil Invention sketch with The Rock.
Yeah.
And that ended up being an ad for White Castle.
Yeah, that's the one thing I thought about that sketch. I was like, I wish they didn't.
I thought it worked fine there because I thought it was still relatively fresh, but
yeah. Oh yeah. Like at this point it's kind of,
Yeah, now it feels kind of played out to me.
Yeah. But, this sketch, not the strongest of the night, I'd say, but I mean, there's another sketch that I thought was a little even weaker, but we'll get there. We'll get
there. Oh, only one?
Oh shit. All right.
Ooh.
Damn dog. Oh shit. All right. Here we go. All right. Well. First off, before we go to the Salt Factory, let's talk about our musical guest.
Before we go to the Salt Factory,
Before we go digging in the salt mines, let's talk about our musical guest, Dijon, with his songs "Higher" and "Another Baby."
You're reading those like because they were in all caps, right?
Yes, all caps, yeah. Exclamation mark, so you have to shout it out.
Right.
Or you're saying it.
Shout it.
There it is.
Kennedy Center Honors.
Oh, God. Don't. It's.
Huh?
That's actually one of my dad's favorite bands, which even more bums me out. But I was like, They do have a few good, okay songs, but like, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Kiss has never done a song that I dislike.
Yeah, Strutter's pretty rad. That's a cool little deep cut.
I don't know if I know that one.
Strutter is. I think I knew Strutter because, you know, back in the day, I was a huge fan of Guitar Hero, and that song is in Guitar Hero, and that's the first time I heard it. I was like, oh, this song kind of rocks.
Nice. And
yeah. So check out Strutter, guys. It's a banger. And
all right.
Deuce is another deep cut that's pretty good. And I don't know, Detroit Rock City, I still like, even though I read about what the song's about, it kind of bumped you out. Or even if just listen to the lyrics, like how it's about a guy who, like, you know, dies in a car crash on his way to a Kiss concert. And it's like, oh, shit, that's kind of sucks.
I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
That's backstory I did not know. No.
Listen to the lyrics of Detroit Rock City. It's told from the POV of a guy who gets drunk and high and drives to a Kiss concert, and he gets hit by a truck and dies. And I think that's based on a real story too. I think that actually happened to some guy.
Well, shit.
In Detroit. Like he was all high and drunk and was way to a Kiss concert, and he fucking got into this horrible accident. And Kiss was like, we got a hit on our hands, baby. Let's make a song.
Way to bring the room down, Darren.
Dijon! Hi!
Dijon. Okay. First off, I'm impressed he's just performing on the set of SNL and they didn't build like this whole huge interactive experience for him like we do for every musical guest these days. It was nicer to see somebody on stage at home base just performing their song. So kudos to him for that.
Yeah, like it seemed like his whole band was just kind of sitting around him like a like a cipher almost. Like
right. Or like, you know, every other musical guest on SNL before Kanye.
Yes. There really is like a pre...
Kanye just ruined it for everybody.
He kind of did, yeah. Motherfucker, yeah, he really did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Son of a bitch. All right, but...
That's the only thing we can criticize Kanye about, though.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, he's impeccable beyond that.
I'm getting nowhere near that. But yeah, Dijon... I don't know why he reminds me of Reggie Watts, but he kind of does, like, his music.
It's because he was doing the tape loop thing, you know?
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got some Reggie Watts vibes, too. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Cool. You know, he's all dressed up like he looks like he either just got on stage, just, like, walked in out from out the cold.
Or he does look like he just wandered into the building, yeah.
Or he looks like he's about to...
Because he's just very bundled up, yeah. Yeah. He's got a scarf and everything.
He looks like he either just got there or he's getting ready to leave.
Right, right.
He's like, all right, I got to beat traffic.
Let's see. Let's make this fast. I'm double parked. Okay.
I'm at the meter. Come on. Hurry.
I got to feed the meter in 5. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Chop, chop. But yeah, I thought these performances were all right. I thought they were.
Yeah, I enjoyed his stuff.
Yeah, not too shabby. You know, interesting sounds. Got a nice beat, and I could dance to it.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Do we think Lorne Michaels knows who Dijon is?
Absolutely not.
I do not think so either.
No, God, no.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I do not see a man at the age of 80 having any idea of who Dijon is. Because I am a man of in my 50s. I did not know who Dijon was before this, so...
I'm a man in my 40s, and I had no idea who Dijon was.
Right, so yeah. So
there's no way. Nuh-uh.
No way. No way. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he's there. He performed, and he did all right.
Yeah. I don't know if they crossed paths during the week at all.
You don't think so?
Maybe Lauren was just like, is someone's Uber driver in the hall, or what's going on here?
Is that Finesse Mitchell? that's Dijon, sir. He's the musical guest, sir. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Weekend update. Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Oh, I've heard of them. So let's see. I liked Jost's joke about the photos that were released of the Epstein Island, and Jost says, I gotta say, it's not as nice as I remember.
Yeah. Oof.
Solid joke.
They had that little video of Trump showing his cameo in Home Alone 2, and it, you know, it hits different now. And of course, they showed us out when Macaulay Culkin walked up to Trump saying, "Excuse me, where's Jeffrey Epstein?" Down the hall and to the left.
Yeah. And then he's like looking at the young child who passes him by. Yeah.
Oy. Oy. You know, short videos lead to mental cognition problems. So if you're watching this on TikTok, it's just a noise I was not expecting him to make.
Oh, that's how I hear half of his jokes every week.
Weekend update. Duh.
I kid, Colin Jost.
I kid.
But we had Ben Marshall as Lance, a redhead who just went on vacation.
Yeah, this was pretty weak.
This spoke to me. As I am not a red-haired man, but I am an extremely pale man, and I never go through a tanning stage. I just like burst into flames when I walk outside. Yes, this spoke to me. We see Ben Marshall. He is severely sunburned, and he like takes off his sunglasses, and we see like his natural skin color in the shape of the sunglasses around him. And I was like, "Yep, been there, been there."
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. He was kind of giving. Alex Moffat vibes a little bit. Like, it almost,
I can see that.
Yep. Reminded me a little bit of that. But yeah, I mean, the basically reason I said, like, I don't know, because there wasn't really much there. I don't know, with this sketch. Like, you know, he talked about how he...
Jokes could have been stronger. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, we were basically relying on the visual.
Yeah, that's it.
Of him with the bright red lobster skin. And,
right.
You know, and at one point he opens a shirt and we see, like, the outline of a bikini top.
Right. And then we learn that he got sunburned going to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And he got sunburned, not even in Ireland, he got sunburned on the plane from the overhead lights.
Again, very relatable.
Yeah. Wow. I guess I got to be a fair-skinned man in order to get these jokes.
You really should be. You're missing out.
I hear it's fun.
It's great.
The world's your oyster.
I mean, you know, except for the sunburning stuff. The sunburning stuff sucks. But the rest of it, yeah, thumbs up.
10 out of 10, no notes.
10 out of 10 would sign up to be a fair-skinned man again.
Yeah. And then he brings out a red-headed children's choir.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's...
kind of a random ending, but...
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason I thought this was like, all right, this is kind of... Yeah, but yeah, the thing you said, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, this all relies...
The thing I said about how it's better to be a fair-skinned white man?
No. I meant the thing about you saying, like, oh, yeah, this is all... This thing all hinges on the visuals of him being red-skinned. After that... There's nowhere really to go with it. They don't really take it to any.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's that thing they have where he heats up a TV dinner just by holding it. And and then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, he did make it ding whenever he touched it again.
Ha-ha!
So.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed it. The material wasn't the strongest, but I thought he performed it well. And, you know, it was funny. And like I said, as an easily sunburned individual, I found it relatable. So. Yeah.
And they play Shaggy and Mr. Boombastic, which is always fun.
I mean, how can you not like that?
Yeah, it's Mr. Lover. next up, so there was a story that went viral. A raccoon broke into a liquor store in Virginia, smashed a bunch of liquor bottles, got drunk, and the liquor store owners found the raccoon passed out in the bathroom. This is a real story that actually happened.
Between the toilet and the trash can, like perfectly placed in between.
Yep. I mean.
And I mean, who among us?
Been there, bro.
Been there. Again, relatable.
So, of course, they had Sarah Sherman dressed as the drunk raccoon come out to give their side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Sherman, whenever there's a story about something happening to an animal, they always get Sarah to be that animal. Like,
yeah,
whether it be a squirrel or an owl, you know, any type of woodland creature.
Yeah,
you get Sarah Sherman on that.
Okay, Sarah, we've got an idea for this week's weekend update. It requires a lot of makeup. I'll do it.
I'm in.
You know, that's how I imagine that meeting goes.
Yes. Something happens about this possum. I'm in. Let's do it.
I'm in. I like the line where she says, you know, dress for the job you want, whore.
At one point, she was playing with the liquor bottle so much that it actually fell off the desk. And she had to scramble to go get it. But Joseph was like, no. Hey, let it go.
Yeah, yeah. I liked at one point she just silenced Jost with a quiet piggy, which topical.
And of course she's talked about how she knows how people talk about raccoons. You know, they call them trash pandas, dumpster dogs, the Sarah Shermans of the forest.
Yeah,
and of course Colin says, "Oh, come on, you're not nearly as hairy as Sarah Sherman."
Yeah,
yeah. And at one point, she eats Colin's written jokes because raccoons only eat trash.
And they also had the occasional cutaway with, like, the night vision camera.
Yes, the ring cam. Yeah. I thought it was fun. It's always cute to see.
It was fun. I feel like it, again, I feel like the jokes could have been a little stronger.
Yeah.
But you know, it's Sarah Sherman dressed up as a drunk raccoon. I mean, so...
Yeah.
I can't entirely hate it.
Are you not entertained?
I was entertained. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Yeah, Sarah Sherman's saying she's gonna ride Colin's head like a Davy Crockett cap. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. But yeah, not bad. It's always fun to see that.
And by the way, did you see there was a video that was I guess it was sort of going viral like a little after Halloween. I think I posted this on my Blue Sky account. There was like a raccoon that was attacking a dummy at like Halloween.
Oh,
did you see this?
I don't think so.
There was a thing, and I guess this was it was like, you know, one of those robotic things that has like a motion detector thing, and it starts like moving around and it's supposed to like scare trick or treaters or whatever. And you see in the security cam footage, it starts moving, and the raccoon immediately like jumps up and attacks it, and it knocks it over. It's the funniest damn thing.
Wow! All right. So when the machines do rise up and try to take over humanity, we're gonna have to rely on our good friends the raccoons to help.
Drunken raccoons will save us all. That is what I'm saying. Yes.
Drunken raccoons will save us all, folks. If you live near a wooded area. Ply your raccoons with as much garbage and alcohol as you can, because they need to be ready for when
they need inebriated raccoons.
Yes,
if you take one thing away from the podcast this week, let that be the thing.
They will be our saviors in the AI uprising.
Right.
Thank you. Right. That's right. Next up, Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare. This is. We're going into like the suburban era of the show. A lot of suburban sketches this week, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So this one, it's basically a bunch of moms, all with Southern accents, hanging out in the kitchen while their daughters are upstairs having a sleepover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the moms are like, hey, I wonder what the kids are doing up there. And it's like, oh, they're probably, you know, doing Truth or Dare or something like that. And then the moms were like, well, y'all, I never played Truth or Dare. Well, why don't we just play Truth or Dare, right?
Should we try it?
Yeah.
Let's try it.
And, first, of course, they start asking, you know, innocuous questions like, how was your Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Is this dipped mayonnaise or yogurt? How do you like driving your Toyota Tacoma? And then, of course, it goes to, you know, one of them saying dare and then going into things like, would you like to go to the bathroom and kiss?
Yes.
Yes. And then the audience goes, ooh!
Yeah, yeah. We shipped in the audience from like a mid-90s Married with Children
episode. It's like Kelly Bundy walked out.
Yeah. and then there are a few more innocuous small talk questions for Truth. And then for the next dare, it's like, would you like to go into the pantry and reveal our breasts?
Yeah.
And when the two of them come back, they've switched shirts.
Yeah.
Which, nice touch.
Which is funny because Sarah Sherman's short and Jane Wickline's like super tall.
Yes. And then let's see, what else do we have? We have, would you like to go into the coat room and sit on my hand? And yeah, when they come back, one of them's looking rather disheveled.
Oh.
And then finally, would you like to go into the yard and choke me sexually?
Choke me sexually, not the other kind.
No, I mean, yeah, because the other way is...
That's just dangerous.
That's dangerous, but, you know, you choke me sexually. You got safe words and stuff. It's all good.
Yeah. And then, of course, it ends with the mom saying, oh, this is fun. We should play tomorrow. And one of them says, oh, can I bring my husband? No. I mean, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
But, yeah, don't be diplomatic. Be honest.
I mean, look, no escalation. I mean, everybody.
Well, I don't know. Choking sexually. That's a
okay. All right. Yeah, I guess so. Right. I guess it was.
I'm saying that's a few notches above going into the bathroom and kissing.
Okay, you're right.
I've heard tell, yeah.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, once you got into the rhythm of it, like, all right, questions, let's explore our sexuality, questions, do something. Yeah, it didn't really kind of
It just followed that pattern, and yeah, it was kind of repetitive.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It was just kind of repetitive. It didn't really kind of go anywhere. It's, I mean, the performances were good. I liked them, but yeah. And then it just kind of ended on a, oh, okay, kind of note.
Yeah, just kind of petered out.
Yeah, so yeah, this one I thought, eh, interesting premise, but yeah, it didn't really, not a lot of there. It didn't really kind of go anywhere. Yeah,
it was just kind of for me too.
Yeah.
I wasn't real, excited's not quite the right word, but yeah, this didn't send me in a big way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would say that too. Next up, Sunday Supper. Let's see if this will send you.
Sunday Supper. Yeah. So yeah, yet another suburban house. I don't know why we put these two sketches back to back. That seemed like a weird choice to me.
It feels like the writers like just came back from Thanksgiving with all like from their, you know, their families in the suburbs. Like, guys, I got it.
Yeah. It's just, I would have separated these two in the rundown just for variety's sake, you know. It's just it felt a little samey having this follow the Truth or Dare sketch.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we got like three couples. They're getting together for a Sunday dinner, and Dismukes is the husband, the main couple, with Melissa McCarthy as the wife. He's like, hey, this was great. We should do this every week. What if we make this a get together every Sunday? We always have a Sunday supper. And the other couples are like, oh, well, we couldn't really do that. You're like, you know, we'd have to get a sitter every week.
Yeah.
You know, we have dinner with our parents on Sundays usually. So, yeah, we couldn't do that. That's very nice, though. But
yeah. And, of course, that kind of sends Dismuke spiraling a little bit. Like,
yeah, he takes it very hard.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you're right. That's, you know, that's, I'm sorry. That's stupid. I'm sorry. That's okay. That's all right. And then he apologizes. He's all embarrassed, and he goes upstairs.
Yeah.
Comes back down, says he's running away.
Yeah.
He's
got an old timey bag of his clothes.
He's got like the little hobo bindle.
Right.
And
that's the word. Yes. Yeah.
And he has you can barely see it, but I caught it a second time. He has like a little small Thomas the Tank Engine suitcase right next to him as well.
Yeah, you couldn't see that very well. And he drops it, and it's all like costume pieces. There's like a feather boa in there.
Yeah, they're all from his dress-up box.
Right. And so he decides he's running away. A little later, he decides to pour gasoline on himself.
Yeah, because like everybody feels bad that he's like running away. So they're like, oh, well, maybe we could do it another day. And he's like, well, about Saturday supper? And they're like, oh, you know, our son has basketball. So, of course, he douses himself in gasoline because, of course, you have gasoline in your living room.
Yes. Yeah. As you do.
And then they say, well, maybe we could do something that's less of a commitment. And, of course, he says, how about breakfast here every morning at 6 a.m.?
That seems like more of a commitment. Yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah.
And
so he decides to run away again. He's going to like ride the rails, but then he comes back later on because he's like, the neighbor's dog was outside and I got scared.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just sort of some vintage Andrew Dismukes weirdness here.
Yep. I mean, I like Dismukes. I feel like, I like
this is like the third sketch in a row, I think, that has like stunned you into silence. You're like, I like this guy.
I don't mean to do this. I really don't. Because I mean, a lot of the sketches of the night are like I it's an interesting premise. But it didn't quite get there. Like, I mean, you can see Dismukes giving it his all.
Yeah.
Dismukes does. He does what he can to put
this. It was all right. It's not his strongest sketch.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I did get a good laugh at the line, like after Dismukes leaves. Then the friends are like, oh my God, do you think we're ever going to see him again? And the wife, Melissa McCarthy, says, I hope not. He's a burden on my life.
Yeah.
So, and look, again, this is like a role where Melissa's like, pretty much a straight person. Like
it was nice to see her not be the weirdest one in the sketch. For variety's sake.
Yeah, Dismukes gets to weird out in this one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but this sketch, I didn't mind it, but I was like, I think we're almost there, but it's not quite there. But let's go to this pre-tapes, which is way out there. It's Cousin Planet.
We got Jane Wickline. Veronica.
Yeah, and it's a video that's shot in almost like Microsoft Windows, like, you know, late 90s, early aughts style. A lot of
Getty. Several backgrounds with Getty Images logos visible and it's on them.
Exactly. And it's like a video where Veronica and Wickline go visit, you know, their aunt's house for the holidays and, you know, hang out with the cousins, you know, playing with the Wii, drinking Martinelli's, as you do. And then, you know, of course, at the end of the night, the cousins all leave. But wait, where do cousins go for the rest of the year when it's not Christmas? Why, they go to Cousin Planet, where every day is the day after a holiday. And then we get, like, some really kind of makeshift, like, costumes and spaceships where they sing about Cousin Planet.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, you know, and they talk about how Cousin Planet is basically a giant cul-de-sac. Every conversation on Cousin Planet is just catching up. Melissa McCarthy is the mayor of Cousin Planet. There's two laws. Law number one, no hooking up. Law number two, the first law is flexible. And it's always December because cousins don't exist in the summer. This one had strong, like, Lonely Island, Beck and Kyle vibes. It was a weird one for sure. Oh boy. All right, let's hear it.
I mean, I would not put the word strong in the same zip code as this sketch. Ooh. Personally.
Okay.
I thought this was horrible. I just
It was pretty messy looking, but I mean that's by design because
It was intentionally messy looking. I just didn't find it funny or amusing or not obnoxious.
Yeah, but I mean but you see what I mean. It does look like something like Laser. Oh no, with Laser Cats there was a little bit more to.
Yeah, but it's intentionally cheesy in the same way that Laser Cats was.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like I feel like the lines and the jokes weren't as strong. They were kind of more relying on the catchiness of the song to sort of put this sketch over. So like the jokes in it.
I mean, I think the premise of like, you know, where do cousins go for the rest of the year? I think you could make something out of that. I don't think this was it. This was like the low point of the show for me.
Oof.
Big time.
Because I thought the next sketch was the low point for me, let's just go.
The next sketch was also bad, but
yeah. But yeah, let's just go into it. Let's round it out with Christopher and Guillaume.
I mean, I was all excited when I saw the title of this one because I was like, oh, finally, some Robert Guillaume content.
Finally!
In our SNL, yes.
Benson will have his day in the sun. Oh,
we're going to hear all about Benson and Sports Night. And
Lean on Me.
Yeah,
and
how he was in Lean on Me?
He was in Lean on Me, yeah. He had he was like the superintendent or something that sent Joe Clark to the school in Paterson, New Jersey.
Nice.
And like they were old friends, and then there was one really good scene between the two of them where they get into like this really big shouting match that I thought was pretty dope.
Nice.
Guys, watch Lean on Me. It's Jersey's finest.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen all of Lean on Me. I know the clips. I know the big memeable moments. You know, like they used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they can call me Batman.
Yeah, no,
holds up a big baseball bat.
Yeah, no, I saw Lean. I've seen Lean on Me many a time in my youth. It's one of my favorites. I think that shit still rocks.
Nice. Okay.
But alas and alack, it's not about Benson or Lean on Me. It's about somebody named Guillaume. Because we start off with Spectrum News Channel 1. And we see Tommy Brennan.
I'm laughing already. Spectrum News. Where do these nutty writers get their crazy ideas, huh?
there actually is a local New York Spectrum News.
I take it back.
So we see Tommy Brennan as a news reporter reporting from the number one Christmas village in Yonkers. And we see this couple that is built up this Christmas village in their home. And it's
Chris Bowen and Melissa.
As Christopher and Guillaume, that, you know. Yeah. How would you describe them?
I mean, they're both in very loud shirts.
Yeah, glasses. And
They're a very eccentric couple.
Yeah, they kind of talk in old New York-y accents. Mm-hmm. showing them the, you know, the sights around their Christmas village, the Minions.
This is the type of sketch that, like, Fred Armisen would have killed to be in.
Yes! Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Fred would have been all over this shit.
Oh, forget about it.
You know, they've got these odd, eccentric Christmas decorations. They've got a Minion nativity scene. They've got fashion Jesus. There's a gingerbread apartment building. I like the concept of that. That's a funny idea.
Yeah, that was pretty legit.
Yeah.
You know, the gingerbread apartment building, they evicted a gingerbread immigrant family.
Sure. As you do.
As you do. And then Tommy, as a reporter, asks them, hey, what's it, you know, this is pretty fantastic, but what's it like being a gay couple in this town? And right. Guillaume says, gay. And Christopher says, town. I got a laugh out of that, but I feel like that should.
Yeah, yeah, they're offended, one, because they were mistaken for a gay couple, and then two, because they're like, Yonkers is a village, not a town.
Yes, and Guillaume is a woman. And yeah. I feel like that should have been the ending of the sketch. But then they kind of keep going on showing the rest of the decor around the house. They're just
Then at the end, we find out that the reporter has a silly name. His name is like Ribbed Condom.
Yeah.
That's so out of nowhere, and it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like one of the Rudemans. I was like, okay, that's a joke, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just happened.
That's the structure of a joke. It seems joke-like in its form. It does not inspire laughter the way many jokes do, but
it's just odd. It's like, all right.
I was just like, oh, okay, we're putting this in here. Okay, all right. All right. Yeah. Yeah, pretty awful sketch though.
Yeah. Yeah, this one didn't have a lot.
Going out with a whimper.
Going out. Yeah, this one didn't have a lot going for it. And we get a final title card to R.I.P. Craig Kellum, who passed away this week. Craig Kellum was a producer and talent coordinator for the very first season of SNL. At one point, he was George Carlin and Lily Tomlin's agent. And he was a producer on The Ruddles, All You Need Is Cash. So, R.I.P. Craig Kellum. I think he also went on to executive produce The Munsters Today.
Yeah, and the new Dragnet and the new Adam 12. Apparently, if there was a television show you wanted to reboot in the 80s or 90s, Craig Kellum was the guy you called. So
I want to do the new Odd Couple. Get Craig Kellum.
But, I mean, you know, hey, he was a producer on The Ruddles, so
yeah.
That's immortality alone for that.
For that alone, he has.
For that alone,
he has my undying love.
Yes.
But yeah, I felt like this episode overall started off strong and kind of petered out.
I would say started off not strong and then petered out from there. I thought this was a pretty bad episode overall.
Ooh-wee.
I'm hard pressed to even pick something as like a sketch of the night.
I'm going to give it to Free Sample. I did like that one quite a bit.
I think I'd have to either give it. I'd probably have to give it to the Helping Hand segment. Mm. That's probably what amused me the most. But even that, I think, wasn't the strongest. This is, a disappointing episode overall.
Yeah, I guess. I guess also because there was Melissa McCarthy. You know, she's done this show before. It is her sixth time. So expectations were high.
Yeah.
I don't know if expectations were met.
They were not.
They were not. Okay.
They were not for me. See, I don't want to tell you how to think. I don't want to yuck your yum, but didn't work for me.
See, I always tried to be the diplomatic nice guy. You're the bad cop, the hard edge. You know, I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah.
Bad to the bone. Bad boy of the podcast. That's right. You just come in with your leather jacket. You punch the jukebox. Shot on our plays. Like, yeah, you can. You don't give any fucks. Ball with the ball, but dang, but dang, dig it, dig it.
So obviously, our standards of what a bad boy is are extremely warped on the SNL Nerds podcast.
That's a bad boy, right?
that's our idea of bad boys.
That's right. That's what I think of. I don't know about you.
So, okay, so we weren't too nuts about this episode, I think it's fair to say. But let's see what the people have to say.
Yeah, we put up, we put this episode up on Blue Sky, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear what you guys thought, of course, from our good friend Shari, like Starry, says, mm-hmm. Hello to two of my favorite fellow SNL fanatics. Hey, that's us. Mm-hmm. I am a huge fan, Melissa fan, and was really excited for this episode. Watched it live. And it was just meh on it. It was just meh on it. And then did a rewatch and ended up really enjoying it. Keep up the great podcasting, guys.
So well, thank you. We will. Well, maybe the secret is I should have rewatched this episode. I just watched it once.
There it
so
is.
So I was very meh on it.
There
but
it
maybe
is.
If I watched it again, I would really enjoy it.
That's right. So. Got to give it a second. You got to give it a second try to get all those nuances you missed the first time. On
I'm not gonna do
that. Oh, all right. Well, I tried, guys. I tried.
I'm a bad boy.
down.
Yeah. let's say our friend Nick at Nick's Door at Blue Sky. He says it was a show of two halves. Really enjoyed the first half. Dipped a little at Weekend Update. Then just ran out of steam halfway through the Dismukes Leaves Him sketch. The cheese sketch was my sketch of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking Jeremy the most of all the rookies. Padilla's accents were suddenly a whole new thing.
Yeah, she can do accents, y'all. And then next up, we hear from our good friend, Lee Hot the Lion, saying,
mm-hmm.
Hello, fellow nerds. I hope all is well. When Trump was asleep during the Weekend Update, I got really excited because I thought he wasn't going to wake up. Yeah.
That's our wish.
That's the wish. The monologue was funny. Truth or Dare was predictable, but I loved it. The first half of sketches were great. Sarah V. Collin is undefeated. Love y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Stephen M. at SuperTechie19 says, this was a real disappointment outside of Weekend Update. Everything felt like 10 to 1 that landed like Wayne's World 2.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oof.
Cousin Planet seemed like a junior high skit. Melissa's out-of-it characters have been played to death, too. Ooh, Stephen M., coming in hot, man.
Coming out, but I don't think she had that many... I mean, I know what he means by out-of-it characters, but she didn't go to that well too much, I thought. Like, there was the free samples and the UPS.
Yeah.
Everything... And I guess you could say Helping Hand, I guess. But, like, everything...
Yeah, that would qualify. Yeah. No, I see what Stephen means there.
Okay. Janine K, we got, says, usually a super fan of SNL, but the sketch giving a child a gift with a gun inside as a solution to bullying was so extremely inappropriate and irresponsible, it's hard to forgive. Ooh.
That's your opinion. It worked for me as a joke. I mean, it was because it was obviously a joke, but...
Yeah, like, I think the fact that, yes, it is extremely inappropriate, that's the joke. Like,
You know,
I mean, I guess you could say, like, with school shootings and everything, yeah, it is weird to do that. But, like, I think the fact that they made it so that everything that old lady did was, you know, extremely inappropriate. I mean, she got the kid prostitutes. That's extremely inappropriate as well. So... I don't know. We see what you're saying, Jenny, but like in the context of the joke and the sketch.
I don't think anyone was taking that as a legit suggestion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No. The woman is nuts. I think the sketch kind of proves that.
Yeah, and let's see. Finally, just me at Laurel Bush at bluesky.social. All episodes have both good and bad. I liked the opening, but I didn't like the monologue.
Mm.
I laughed out loud at the old woman and boy skit at first. But it went on too long. Yeah, some of the sketches this week really did go on too long. They were like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I hate most guests on Weekend Update, and the raccoon was no exception. Wow. not a big one for desk pieces, I guess. I guess I'm too old to appreciate the musical guest. Wow.
coming in hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So this episode seems like a mixed bag among the people. So
yeah, this one really seemed like... And when we heard Melissa McCarthy was going to host, everybody was like, yeah, all right, she rocked.
Yeah.
And like, it seems like a lot of people felt a little let down by this one. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've read, before we started recording, I read a couple of reviews. I read the reviews on the AV Club and the review on Late Nighter from our friend Dennis Perkins. And people seem, I mean, those folks seem favorably inclined to the episode. So I was just like, geez, I really didn't like this one. I didn't think there was much to write home about at all.
Yeah, no, they were all incorrect, and we are correct. This episode,
I mean, that's what I'm saying, yes.
Yes, you know, just, that's just how it is, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, live with it.
Yep, that's just the way it is.
You're right, you're wrong.
Yeah, some things will never change.
Yeah, you know, we'll have it out with Dennis.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, he'll... when we have him back on for the year end. So stay tuned for that, folks. And that's our episode, guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast, as always. You can follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. You could donate to our Patreon, non-productive.com. You could watch this madness on YouTube's, on our YouTube page. And as always, you could follow me, myself, and I on all social medias at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can follow me on social media at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And, you know, please rate and review us and like us on YouTube. Talk us up to your friends and stuff. That helps us get new people listening and stuff. And that's what it's all about, really.
That's what it's all about. Yeah, all right. So tune in next week when we have a very British-heavy episode of SNL with host Josh O'Connor and musical guest Lily Allen, both from across the pond.
Oh, what's all this then?
Yeah, what's all this? Yeah. Hey, you got Josh O'Connor, yeah? Lily Allen singing a song up there, by Jove.
I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I enjoyed Josh O'Connor in the latest Knives Out movie, Wake Up Dead Man, quite a bit.
Yeah,
I'll be interested in seeing what he does.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't, If you're able to watch the new Knives Out movie in the theater, I highly recommend you go watch it in the theater. If not, watch it on Netflix.
You must watch it on Netflix, even though they're going to be the death of us.
Our new overlords. But like either way, it is a solid movie, I'd say. Like Knives Out, Wake Up Dead Man, Knives Out. It's some solid shit, my boy.
Yeah, it is. It is.
No diggity.
All right. So, join us next week. We'll tell you our correct opinions about Josh O'Connor and Lily Allen. But until then,
Nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.